Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Gyatva Gyati Bhadam Garhyam Adharmam Raja Hetukam Tata Nivrita Hanta Aham Hatha Ayam Iti Laukika Gyatva Gyati Vadam Garhyam Adharmam Raja Hetukam Tato Nivrittu Hantaham Hato Yamiti Laukika Gyatva Gyati Vadam Garhyam Adharmam Raja Hetukam Tato Nivritto Hantaham Hato Yamiti Laukika Gyadva Being aware Gyati of his relatives Vadam the killing Garhyam abominable Adharmam irreligion Raja to acquire a kingdom Hetukam having as the motive Tata from such activity Nivritta retired Hanta the killer Aham I am Hata killed Ayam this group of relatives Iti thus Laukika mundane Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. On the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna thought that killing his relatives would be an abominable irreligious activity motivated only by his desire to acquire a kingdom. He therefore desisted from the battle thinking, I would be the killer of my relatives. They would be destroyed. Thus Arjuna was afflicted with mundane consciousness. Purport. Lord Krishna here explains to Uddhava the circumstances in which Sri Arjuna posed his questions. Vandeha Sri Guru Sri Jata Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha Sri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zava Dutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. So, we are miserable in this material world. Why are we miserable here? Because we are holding on to this position of acting independently from Krishna. It's not that the independence is bad, the free will is bad. That free will must exist. That ability to act independently must exist. Otherwise, love cannot exist. If I put a gun at your head and I say, love me, or I'll blow your brains up, can you love me? You may say, I love you, I love you. Just put that gun down. You cannot love a person who is forcing you. So, Krishna, wanting our love, gives us that choice to love him or to leave him. And if we misuse that independence, we find ourselves here trying to be an independent enjoyer and failing miserably. It is not possible. Can a fish be happy on the land? You may give him all facility. You may give him a sports car, a girlfriend, a big bank account. Is it? But can that fish be happy? You'll be flapping in agony, no matter what facility you may give him. You may give him a big position, make him the Prime Minister of Australia. So much big facility. Make him a rock and roll star. So many things you may give him. Try to enjoy. Come on. But actually, if you simply flip that fish back into the water, he will be very, very happy immediately. So, all we really have to do is get back to our original position of servitude to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. That's all we really have to do. It's such a simple thing. But we make it complicated because we think we know better, just like Arjuna thought he knew better than Krishna. We have our idea of what I think I need to be happy. And the difficulty is that our conception of our own happiness is when we are the center of enjoyment. That is the difficulty. Our conception of happiness places us in the center of enjoyment. And that will never work. It will never work. Because we are not the center. Who is the rightful enjoyer? The owner is the rightful enjoyer. Someone tries to enjoy your car, they are a thief. If someone tries to enjoy your wife, they are an adulterer. You see, the proprietor, he can enjoy. No one else is entitled to enjoy. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Krishna describes, I am proprietor. You see? Since Krishna is proprietor, then Bhogaishvarya Prasaktamam. What is that? Bhuktaram Jagatapasam. You see? Since Krishna is Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, therefore he must also be Bhoktaram Jagatapasam. Because he owns everything, therefore he and he only is the rightful enjoyer of everything. So we try to take that position. We are interloping. We are treading into forbidden territory. As in the Bible it is given, the forbidden apple. We are wanting to eat that forbidden apple that I am enjoying. That is not allowed. But I want to be happy. If I am not an enjoyer, how I can be happy? They will ask. You're telling me I can't be the enjoyer? What good is this Hare Krishna movement if I can't be the enjoyer? Actually, in Hare Krishna movement, we're giving you the formula of how to enjoy equally with the Supreme Enjoyer, or even better enjoyment than the Supreme Enjoyer, by taking the position of secondary enjoyer, you see. Just like the hand, it needs nutrition, it needs nourishment to be healthy. But if that hand, it tries to be the primary enjoyer, if I give the hand one glob jam and the hand tries to enjoy it, squishing it in the fingers, you see, trying to get some energy out of that glob jam, you see, it will be useless. It cannot get anything. It cannot absorb the nutritional value of that glob jamun or the flavor of the glob jamun through the skin. It cannot do. But if that hand will take that glob jamun, put it in the mouth, you see, then that nutritional value, that nourishment, it will manifest, it will be there in the stomach and it will be distributed to the hand in every part of the body. So, if we want to actually be satisfied, then we must give nourishment to that supreme source of existence, Krishna. We must give Krishna our loving service. And then automatically we become satisfied, fully satisfied. And we're able to give full, complete satisfaction to all living entities. They may not recognize it in this material world. But actually, when one surrenders to Krishna, he is giving the best service to every single living entity throughout the total existence. Because when you feed the belly, you feed all the parts of the body. When you feed the, when you give water to the root of the whole tree becomes nourished. So when we give that loving service to Krishna, then we are giving our love to all living beings. And the more you can give love, you see, the more you become happy. There are two ends of the spectrum, you see. There's a giving person, a loving person, on the one end of the spectrum. And the other end is the miserly person, the selfish person. One nice thing about English language is the word miser and the word miserable. They're obviously connected. In other words, the more you become miser, the more you become miserable, and the less you become miser, by developing a loving, giving, sharing mood, the less you become miserable. In other words, the more you become blissful, you become ecstatic. The trouble is, we're moving towards, the modern day society is moving towards this end of the spectrum, becoming more and more miserly, more and more miserable. More and more selfish, egotistic. But the Vedic culture pushes the other way, you see, towards giving, loving, sharing, humble, selfless service to the Supreme Person and all living entities. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to take the miserly, miserable people, namely ourselves and the whole human society, and teach us how to move in the other direction. how to give up the self-centered, egocentric consciousness and take up the God-centered, selfless mood of pure devotion. This transforms our consciousness from the realm of temporality, ignorance, and misery to that realm of eternity, knowledge, and bliss, where life becomes an endless festival, 24 hours a day of nectar, singing, dancing, feasting, preaching, studying, working together with wonderful devotees of the Lord to bring the highest benefit to the human society, you see. There's nothing so sublime as this Krishna consciousness movement. How kind Srila Prabhupada is to have given us this movement. At great personal inconvenience, he gave us this Krishna consciousness movement. So now, if we will take advantage of this wonderful mercy of his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, follow in the footsteps of great acharyas, Mahajana Yena Gatasya Panta, who are blazing this trail through the dark, dense forest of delusion of the age of Kali. If we will take this pathway which they are giving us, put faith in these great acharyas, that they are leading us out of the darkness, and follow in their footsteps, then that glorious spiritual kingdom from which we were originally, in which we were originally situated, we will re-enter that kingdom and once again take up our eternal relationship, Swarup, with Krishna in many, many varieties of loving pastimes. Simply we have to have faith in these predecessor acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta T. Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, our most beloved founder acharya. You see, if we can put our faith in these great acharyas and the ones who preceded them also, and follow in this pathway, you see, then there will be no obstacle which can impede the ever increasing ocean of bhakti which will fill our hearts and can flood the entire world. So, I can ask now if there's any question. Yes.
Just in regards to Nitya Bhagavats, what's happening to Nitya Bhagavats? So there's some songs that are eternal devotion. Do you remain as the people of the eternal, or is everyone eventually be said about the spiritual world?
Somebody help me, I'm pretty deaf here. What did he say?
Nitya Bhagavats and Nitya Siddhartha.
Yes, what?
Nitya Bhagavats.
Nitya Bada,
Nitya Siddha.
What about them?
Are there some souls who are eternally conditioned, who remain in this material world, or do all souls eventually go back to Godhead?
Is everyone's destiny to go back to Godhead, or is there some that's destined to stay here forever? Is that the question? Prabhupada explains in that wonderful book known as the Teachings of Lord Chaitanya that the destiny of every single jiva is to go back to home, back to Godhead. So sooner or later, everybody's going to go back. It doesn't mean they're going to go back immediately, obviously. But actually, sooner or later, every single jiva soul will go back to home, back to Godhead. The Nitya Buddhas will eventually be Nitya Siddhas in due course of time. Of course, we can speed up the process. Someone could say, well, if my destiny is to go back to Godhead, why not just kick back and enjoy? Not worry about it, it's going to happen sooner or later anyway. But In fact, in Melbourne, that question was asked of Prabhupada in one lecture here. I remember it was in Melbourne, that very question was asked. So, I forget how Prabhupada answered the question, unfortunately. Forgot the exact answer he gave, but the gist of his answer was that if you're going to make a 1,000-mile journey, why not take the best means of transportation? Why go one step at a time? I mean, why should you, in other words, why prolong your suffering? That was Prabhupada's point. We're destined to go back to Godhead sooner or later, but why should we continue suffering here unnecessarily? If we're going to get out of the material world anyway, why not get out as soon as possible? Is it? So, yes, everyone will go back. But that doesn't mean that we don't have to preach. We need to save them, to get them out as soon as possible so they don't unnecessarily suffer. That is our duty, as Chaitanyaites, to speed up this mission. We want to get as many out as possible, as soon as possible. Starting with ourselves, because otherwise, if we ourselves are not saved, how we can save anyone else? First business, save ourselves. And then save as many as we can from this karma chakra. So any other questions? Everyone satisfied? Ready to revolutionize your heart and revolutionize the planet? Yes?
In the spiritual world, there is relationship of pure love. It means that the living entity loves Krishna and Krishna loves the living entities. But sometimes there is some kind of doubt that... I don't know where from, but Krishna, he doesn't purely love.
If we are doubting the pure love of Krishna, that is our foolishness. Krishna, we may think, well, I'm a devotee, but why are Krishna putting me through this hell right now? He must not purely love me. This is something that the so-called philosophers often discuss. It's called the problem of evil. They say that God is either all loving or is all powerful, but he can't be both. If he's all powerful and all this evil is going on, then he must have his bad side also. He's torturing us. He's all loving, but he's just not all powerful. You know, things are going on beyond his control. They call it the problem of evil. But actually, both things are true. God is all-powerful and he is all-loving. The evil manifests by our misuse. The evil is actually our misdoing. He gives us that free will so that love can exist. And if we misuse it, then the actual evil is coming from us. It's coming from our misuse of the free will. You can't blame God for the evil, although he does facilitate us. You want evil? Okay, here, you can have it. He facilitates it. So in that sense, it does say that Krishna is the cause of all causes. So in one sense, he is the cause of the evil, but he causes it because we want it. So we're actually the cause of the evil. Krishna is not evil. The evil is us, is our misuse of free will. So we should never doubt the magnanimity of Krishna. He's facilitating our desires, our foolish desires. That is his kindness also. So that we can learn our lesson and come back to voluntary loving service to him. Anything else? Everyone satisfied now? All doubts are erased. No confusion, delusion, illusion. Yeah.
When we come to temple, we feel the love of God, and the minute we go out again, there is love, solution, love is. He's asking that when we come to the temple, we feel love of God. But when we live, go outside, we don't feel that love of God. So how can we feel love of God everywhere?
You have to develop transcendental vision. And that transcendental vision is developed through chanting Hare Krishna mantra regularly every day, at least 16 rounds in the beads, by studying Prabhupada's books, by engaging in devotional service, because actually Krishna is everywhere. Yomam pashyati sarvatra sarvam chamai pashyati tashaham na pranashyami satchamena pranashyati. Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, text number 30, Krishna says that the one who sees me everywhere and sees everything in me, I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So, through the process of sadhana bhakti, by chanting regularly the Hare Krishna mantra, by engaging your tongue in tasting prasadam, by regularly studying these scriptures, by following the items of bhakti yoga, you will awaken the dormant love of God within your heart, and that love of God will be manifest 24/7, where you can see Krishna everywhere. Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun. So are you not seeing the sun when you walk out of the temple? That sun is a manifestation of Krishna. He says, I am the taste of the water. Do you not drink water every day, several, many times through the day? So every time you drink water, you can remember Krishna is the taste of the water. So in this way, by chanting, by studying, by seeing everything through the eyes of the scripture, you can become more and more aware how Krishna is manifested everywhere. He's in the heart of every living entity. He's within every atom. He's between every atom. There is no place where Krishna is not existing. We simply have to develop the eyes to see that, how Krishna is manifested. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti yang shama shundaram chintya ganasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. When one's eyes become anointed with the salve of love of God, then one can see Krishna everywhere, both within and without. So, how do you anoint the eyes with love of God? You see, that salve of love of God. Normally, salve, it is some little tube, you put it in the corner of your eye, and you blink your eyes, and you apply the salve in that way. But this ointment, this prem anjana, how is this ointment applied? This ointment is applied through the ears. If you will hear from guru, if you will hear from sadhus, if you will read the scriptures, you see, then you will take, this reading is also a silent form of hearing. So by this hearing, you will take the Sabda Brahma into your consciousness, into your heart. You take that Shabda Brahma deeply into your heart. And then your vision will become purified, your consciousness will become purified. And you'll become more and more aware of how the hand of Krishna is acting in every situation, whether at work, at school, in the commute, in line at the grocery store, at the doctor's office, anywhere and everywhere. Within your family relationships, with your friends, in the society in general, and throughout the whole universe. You'll become gradually aware of how Krishna is manifested everywhere, how his influence is everywhere. It's all pervading. And you learn how to connect with Krishna in every situation. The temple is the place to help you get that strong connection. You see. The temple is the place where you get that strong connection. But if you will carry the atmosphere of the temple within your heart, understanding the deity, that Krishna is not only present in the deity, he's present everywhere. If you will carry this consciousness with you, then you can be fully Krishna conscious in all times, all places, and all circumstances. Does that help?
But we make Krishna present everywhere, but how to feel the love?
Yeah. One could, you know, philosophically analyze, well, Krishna is present, but how do you actually enter into that mood of loving service, because Krishna is never fully revealed until the heart becomes completely pure. So how to develop those feelings of love? That's a very important question. I remember my godbrother, Gargamuni Prabhu. Back in the old days at 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada would come down from his apartment on the other side of the courtyard in the back of the storefront for giving the evening lectures. And when the spiritual master enters, everyone bows down. That is etiquette. But Gargamuni, he didn't feel it was natural, so he would not bow down. But he's feeling a little uneasy because everybody else was bowing down and he was the only one who wasn't bowing down. So during the question and answer period, he said, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everyone bows down, but I do not bow down because for me, it does not feel natural. Is that all right, Swamiji? And then Prabhupada said, you must bow down. Because by bowing down, then the feeling will come. So now, how much love we have for Krishna? We're thinking about eating and sleeping. But if we will dutifully perform the regulative activities of devotional service, just as Prabhupada ordered Gargamuni Prabhu to bow down, and he did it, and actually he felt the enthusiasm. He started doing it and he felt great. Wow, I really feel it now. His mind was telling him, it's not natural, don't do this. But he just overcame the mind because of Prabhupada's order, and if he was happy. He felt so good bowing down to Prabhupada after that. It was natural. He felt the love, you see. So even though we don't feel the love sometimes, if we'll just go ahead and do it and try to do it sincerely, because this is the order of Krishna, this will purify my heart, this is the order of Guru, the order of Sadhu, the order of Scripture, let me just do this, then you'll feel the difference. You'll feel, because the love is already there beneath the surface. It's just a matter of breaking through the lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy that's separating us from that natural love for Krishna, which we all have sitting there within our hearts, deeply buried. So just take up the regulative activities. Try to always be engaged in at least one of the 9 activities of devotional service, always. Hearing, chanting, remembering, offering prayers, the Navavidha Bhakti. Try to find at least one of those 9 things that you can be doing at every minute, 24 hours a day. And by this regulative devotional service, that spontaneous, loving feeling will gradually become fully manifested. Any other questions? Yes.
How do we know that we have love for Krishna?
Yes. That is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhakti pareshanu bhavo viraktir anyat tatai shatraka ekakalaha prapadyamannashu yatasnadashu shtushti pushti shurapayo nagasam. Love of Krishna, direct perception of the Lord, and detachment from material things occurs simultaneously for one who is engaged in the process of devotional service, just as nourishment, satisfaction, and eradication of hunger occur increasingly with each bite of one who is engaged in the activity of eating. So, when you eat, when you're sitting at the feast, and you begin honoring the prasad. So, as you take prasadam, you become satisfied. They bring seconds, you may take thirds, you may reject, you see. Because you know when you're getting filled up. No one has to tell you, Prabhu, I think you're eating too much. You know, hey, I'm reaching my capacity, you know. You can feel it in your body. So Bhagavatam says, this is, you can feel that filling up a prasad, you can also feel the Krishna bhakti in your heart. So if you're not feeling it, well, You don't have? It means you got to keep eating. If we don't feel anything, we better do a, we got a lot of eating to do. But actually, Papa did say, you must have love for Krishna. You're not being paid to do this. He said, you have love for Krishna. Prabhupada could see. So Prabhupada, so there is some love for Krishna there. We're doing it. It's already there to some degree, you see. Now we have to make it perfect. So how do you know you're advancing in love of Krishna? Well, if material things become less and less interesting, that's one viraktir, you see. You become more and more attached. Instead of seeing that pretty, pretty girl and going, you go, she could be a devotee, you see. It'd be so nice if that woman, that beautiful woman, was a devotee, you see. Actually, Prabhupada told us at 26 Second Avenue. He said, he told all these brahmacharis, he said, collect all the beautiful girls and give them to Krishna. And he will dance rasa dance with them. So the idea is, if we can stop seeing a beautiful girl or any object of sense gratification as something that for my enjoyment, and start to see everything for Krishna's enjoyment, you see, then we know that we're developing love for Krishna. So, and when you become more and more aware of how Krishna is present in everything, how the hand of Krishna is acting in every situation, when you become more and more conscious of that, and that will mean naturally you become more and more equipoised. Instead of feeling buffeted by sukha-dukha, you see, the waves of sukha-dukha, you actually see, but wait a minute, that Krishna is acting both in sukha and in dukkha. It's all His mercy. So when you become steady in the sukha-dukha of this material existence, that's another sign your love for Krishna is becoming manifest, you see. So there are many different signs, and those are some of them. Anything else? Yes.
As you said, like just now, if you don't have attraction for sense gratification, then you will feel like you are loving God. Is it that should be like you should sacrifice, or it should be spontaneous?
Just when you presented this point that. You can feel love of Krishna, you are advancing in Krishna consciousness when you are becoming detached from material sense and gratification. So will that happen naturally, spontaneously, or you have to do something?
If you will engage your senses in the service of the master of the senses, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam, then the natural, gradual transformation will happen. Just like somebody is suffering from jaundice. Sugar candy tastes very bitter to them. But the doctor orders, my dear patient, you must take sugar candy. Even though it's bitter, you must take it every day. But by following the doctor's order, then gradually as he becomes cured, that sugar candy tastes sweeter, 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 and becomes completely sweet. All the bitterness is gone. So if it happens automatically, by following the doctor's order, automatically the sugar regained its natural sweetness. So just by chanting the described mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, by bowing down before the deity, by accepting the prasad, by taking up the regulative activities described in Bhagavad Gita and in the Nectar of Devotion, by following these instructions and remaining fixed in this medicinal program of Krishna consciousness, then automatically, in due course of time, love of God will manifest in your home. That's a thing. You have to be patient. It's not like, you know, snap of a finger and it's there. I mean, does the sun rise like that? No, it's a gradual thing. The darkness gradually comes a little bit lighter, and then finally you see a little tiny piece of the sun peeking up over the eastern horizon, you see. You have to be patient. You want to watch this and go out at 3 o'clock in the morning to watch the sunrise. It's not going to be like flipping the switch and there's the full sun. So Krishna consciousness, you have to be patient. You have to be patient. And gradually will come. You have to put in how much patience it takes to get a college degree. So you have to faithfully attend the classes, do the homework, sit for the exams, write the papers, etc. Faithfully. Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. And then gradually become qualified in your particular field of study. So in the same way, in Krishna consciousness, we have to do the prescribed duties every day. We have to chant every day. We have to study the scriptures. We have to bow down to the Lord. It's a process of gradually reawakening that dormant, enlightened consciousness within the heart. But it does come. It takes time. But I guarantee you, if you will follow these instructions that Prabhupada is giving in these books, take help from the devotees, how to follow what Prabhupada is saying here, you will definitely feel the transformation. You'll achieve spiritual perfection in due course of time. Where you can see Krishna directly, face to face, eye to eye. He will come in due course of time. So any other questions? Yes? Yeah.
We hear that when we are chanting the holy name, the tears should roll out of the eyes. That's what the standard procedure.
That is a sign of one who is very advanced in chanting. Yes. So Narottam Das, he is teaching us. Gorongo bolite habe Bulaka Shahari Hari Hari Bolite Nayani Gobeini. He is showing us how to hanker. You see, now I chant Gauranga's name, I chant Hare Krishna, there's nothing there. I'm just saying it, just like some mechanical thing, you see. He's putting himself in our position. He's saying, when will that opportune moment come to me? That by chanting Gauranga, I feel shivering throughout my whole body. And by chanting Hare Krishna, the tears come streaming down my face, you see. When will that day come? When will that moment come to me, you see? So right now, it's just mechanical for us poor neophytes, struggling neophytes. But if we take hint from Narottam, he's showing us so nicely in these songs, you see, our mood. That mood of hankering, I want to be able to purely chant Gauranga's name, Krishna's name, so that I can actually experience these things, you see. I'm hankering for that day when I can truly experience tears flowing from the eyes, body shivering. Not some imitation, but genuinely experience it, you see. We can chant with the desire to be able to chant but like them. Right? So, if you can't, as one godbrother very aptly stated, if you can't cry for Krishna, you see, then cry to cry for Krishna. And if you can't cry to cry for Krishna, then cry to cry to cry for Krishna. And if you can't cry to cry to cry for Krishna, then you should cry to cry to cry to cry for Krishna. And if you can't cry to cry to cry to cry to Krishna, you should cry to cry to cry to cry to cry to Krishna, etc., etc., etc. Ad infinitum. Any other questions? All right. I'll let you go. Thank you very much. Kantarab Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.